Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast on sleep. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Sleep is one of the most common issues I heard from my patients and now from my course members and health coaching clients. Whether it's falling asleep or staying asleep, I hear the same message. I don't wake up feeling rested. What you need to know is that sleep is all about your nervous system, specifically the branch of your nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. This happens to be the same place where trauma gets stored in our body, which means we have to ask a different question about sleep. It's not going to be, how do I shut off my brain to sleep? Our brain is our central nervous system, and we're looking at our autonomic nervous system here. So in this episode, we are answering the question, how to create the safety in my nervous system to sleep well? Here's what you will learn. Which state of your nervous system is needed for our best sleep and resilience? Three strategies to balance your adrenaline, melatonin, and cortisol levels for sleep. Three ways to leverage your sugar levels, immune, and nervous system to improve sleep. Why wearing an eye mask is not enough and what to do instead. Two most effective things to bring into your bedroom routine to shift into your safety state. And one unexpected thing to remove from your bedroom. I have a special guest for this episode. To understand why her tips work, let me provide you the background knowledge on the autonomic nervous system and what a safe system means.
Sleep is key to our resilience, and yet sleep sometimes won't happen. In fact, sleep is one of the most common issues that people have when they have trauma patterns in their body, in their system, unresolved trauma. So what is happening? Now, we're in this interview, we're going to talk about how to get to sleep better and where to start. But sleep really happens in one of the states of our autonomic nervous system. We have three states. And when you are waking up in the middle of the night, then your system is in the sympathetic state. And let me share a picture with you so you can understand the different states as we're going to talk about in this interview. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep, then your system is in the sympathetic state or anxiety. Now, when you are waking up in the morning and don't want to be waking up, you would rather be asleep. You don't want to get up to face your day. Well, that's not the sympathetic stress state anymore. Your body's actually in the trauma state and the trauma physiology. And so that's down here at the bottom where it's called the dorsal vagal freeze, overwhelm. When you're waking up and don't want to get up, that is where you are at. When we sleep the best, we are going to be in parasympathetic in this social engagement state. Now, this is also where we are the most resilient. And that's why sleep helps us get to this place. When we are sleep deprived, we are either going to be in sympathetic or we are going to be in the trauma place. And so sleep actually helps us be more resilient by getting us into the parasympathetic. And yet, poor sleep is often the result of being in sympathetic or overwhelmed. And so we've got to break this cycle. Now, how do we break the cycle? How do we actually address trauma? There are three essential components. And in this interview, we talk about one of them quite a bit, and that would be the somatic piece. In the 21-day journey, that's exactly what I'm helping people with. So in this 21-day journey, we're starting with this piece here, which is the body or the somatic work. Now, I choose to start people here because even though the parts work, working with the stories and the narratives that we have, the belief systems that we have, and especially working with the biology of trauma, what we're talking about here on this summit, the fact that trauma has become our biology and our biology keeps us stuck in a trauma physiology. Where I start people is the 21-day journey and this body work or the somatic work. Why? Because when we do that and we can learn how to create a felt sense of safety for ourselves, it changes the other things. Just like what we're going to talk about in this interview, where it changes our sleep, we have evidence of that. So those people going through my 21-day journey, they experience 26% decrease in their daily physical pain, 28% decrease in sleep issues just by doing that somatic essential element. So you're going to need all three of those for your whole healing journey, but just starting with the somatic work. And we even mentioned a specific exercise in the interview today. And being able to address that already will help with the sleep issues. Now, to help me with this conversation on sleep is my good friend, Susie Sank. She is a functional medicine practitioner, holistic sleep specialist, speaker, author, and mother. She offers integrative solutions to modern day sleep challenges and helps people of all ages get a better night's sleep quickly and easily. What she does is she creates personalized, developmentally appropriate, gentle sleep solutions for families with young children and profound yet practical custom wellness programs for teens and adults. She has been someone who I have found very useful in terms of bringing in the practical solutions for some very challenging issues around sleep. So let's dive into this interview and talk about trauma and sleep and how to break this cycle and actually use sleep to build our resilience and allow more space and capacity to do trauma work. Susie, with all that sleep is, especially for those who've experienced trauma and they need sleep in order to even do the trauma work, let's give them some hacks for how to sleep when sleep won't come. So for those people who, and you know this because you've been through the 21-day journey, when people's systems are just so anxious and so burnt out, tell us even just how better sleep can help them, first of all, just have greater capacity and greater space, greater resilience for doing trauma work.
I know I am preaching to the choir here with you, Dr. Amy. Sleep and not being able to sleep and the issues that cause trauma and cause the trauma response, they go so hand in hand and they're so intrinsic with each other because it's basically the same physiological process in the body and then the same experience that we have. And so it's kind of a chicken and egg situation because especially when we look at PTSD, for example, we don't know whether it's the sleep deprivation that's causing the PTSD or the PTSD that's then causing the sleep challenges. But either way you cut it, you have to be able to sleep well in order to be able to heal from trauma. When we're looking at someone who is part of your audience who might be listening to this and they're dealing with or they suspect that they might have trauma, making sure that you prioritize getting good sleep is so important. But it's very, very frustrating because frequently people who are dealing with trauma and wanting to heal trauma are also really struggling to get good sleep. And so you were asking, what are some hacks that people can do in order to be able to sleep better at night? So the first thing, especially when we're dealing with trauma, is that you really want to think about what's going on for you throughout the day and try to decrease the amount of stress that you're experiencing in the day. And you were so wonderful to allow me to experience the 21-day journey, and it is such a perfect option for people. One of the things that I love about the 21-day journey is that it's not a talking about process, it's a doing process. And that is exactly what we need to do in order to be able to sleep better. We need to shift our bodies from being in this hypervigilant state that, unfortunately, when you have experienced trauma, it is in way too high of a percentage. And you need to actually do the things that are going to make your nervous system experience calm and experience a sense of safety during the daytime so that you can then sleep better at night. Because if you're in an amped up state all day long, there's absolutely no way that you're going to be able to then shift gears and be able to sleep at night. So that's the first thing for sure.
And this is true because I've noticed that many people will have so much adrenaline from their day because they're either in stress or they're causing themselves stress, but they have so much adrenaline and literally adrenaline is still coursing through their blood. And then they go to lay down and you're not going to be able to fall asleep while that adrenaline is still coursing through your body. And so the amount of stress that we're exposed to during our day will depend on how much adrenaline is still in our body and our blood when we go to bed at night and how much time we need to just lay there for it to finally pass.
Right. So to explain this a little bit, we have
cortisol in our body. That's a hormone that is supposed to be highest in the morning to wake us up, to help us have the energy to get out of bed. And then as we go throughout our day, when we have a healthy system, the cortisol will decrease as melatonin is rising. And then cortisol should be rock bottom in the middle of the night while we're sleeping. And melatonin should be high. Melatonin is the hormone that tells our body that it's time to sleep and that it's time to wind down. Well, when we have dysregulated cortisol, the body is basically burning cortisol for too long. Then you'll get those surges of adrenaline so that your body can do the functions that it needs to when cortisol isn't able to do its job. And so one of the other things that's really important that people would probably not associate with sleep or with trauma is making sure that you're eating a balanced diet with balanced blood sugar levels. Because if you don't eat a balanced diet, then what's going to happen is that you're going to have a blood sugar drop or a blood sugar spike in the middle of the night, which is also going to cause those adrenaline surges so that your blood pressure can be normalized. And so another hack is making sure that you're eating healthy, nutritious meals in a balanced way at regular times throughout the day and not snacking. And again, this is one of those chicken and egg things, because people who struggle with trauma are already dealing with low energy. They're dealing with emotional dysregulation. And one of the ways that people self-soothe is by going and getting snacky foods to help them either get through their day energy-wise or just to help them feel better. And so it's really important to kind of take back the reins of what you're doing and be more conscious about how you're eating. And snacking is not good. Ideally, what you want to have is 3 good-sized meals per day that leave you feeling full, where you don't feel hungry in between meals and you don't need to snack. And so generally what that looks like is having enough protein, about a palm-sized amount of protein, so whatever your size and thickness of your palm, and then having more than half of your plate filled with green leafy vegetables, and then a little bit of complex carbs. So again, that's the part that most people need to play with, because some people need more complex carbohydrates, some people need less, and some healthy fat. So if you eat that way and you eat that way in a meal, then you should be able to easily feel full and satiated and get through to your next meal. And that's going to help with your mood. That's going to help with your energy levels. And that's really also going to help with your sleep so that you don't get those adrenaline surges in the middle of the night.
So I was literally at a conference the other day and someone asked the question, what about those people who wake up in the middle of the night and panic? And of course, the room was full of therapists. And so they're all thinking, oh, well, that person clearly has PTSD. And honestly, Susie, the first thing that came to my mind was blood sugar levels.
Right. And in addition to food, a lot of people who struggle with trauma or who are super stressed out lean on alcohol in order to relax them in the night. And that is such a no-no because it causes blood sugar surges in the middle of the night. First, you get relaxed, and you feel tired and you fall asleep, but then inevitably the liver and the blood sugar will wake you up in the middle of the night in order to detoxify the alcohol content that's in your body. So not choosing alcohol as a way to help yourself deal with the trauma or the stress that you're experiencing is another really important thing to do. And instead you could replace it with a different kind of relaxing ritual. For example, taking a bath before bed, an Epsom salt bath, is a fantastic choice because it's going to get magnesium into your body, which is really, really important for sleep. It's also going to, in the short term, increase your internal body temperature and then cool you down. And having a drop in your body temperature is another way that your body gets cued that it's time to sleep. So a calming bath with maybe lavender essential oil and Epsom salts would be a fantastic alternative to that nightly glass of wine.
Or that nightly bowl of ice cream.
Exactly. That was like in my mind what was going to come out of my mouth next. Yeah.
I remember when I was still in the middle of my stress and burnout and my old way of living, it was so frequent that I would get to the end of my day and I'd be so exhausted from having pushed myself all day and all the stress that I'd had that I would overeat in order to relax. And then that process would make me so tired. I think just the overeating would make me so tired that I would fall asleep, but then I would wake up feeling awful. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, I'm feeling awful. I'm feeling hot and sweaty from all this food that I ate, and my body's trying to burn off those calories. And of course, it was never healthy food. It was the carbs and the fat as well, with the ice cream and the sugars. And what a vicious cycle that was, because then of course I wake up the next day and I'm tired and I don't feel well. And I still have this kind of hangover from the food of the night before. And so I'm starting my day already stressed, already not feeling well. And I repeat the cycle again, where I push myself all day long. And then I use food before bedtime to help myself relax, to fall asleep. But then it does not give me restful sleep at all.
I have done the exact same thing more times than I care to count. And here's the thing that I noticed in my experience of that, is that when the immune system is hypervigilant, when we feel like we cannot stop, because if we stop, and this might not be a conscious thought, but if we stop, then there will be a danger. If we stop, it's a threat to our life. Like, that's what the subconscious mind and the nervous system thinks, is that if we slow down, we will die. And so it's almost a, at least for me, it was an unconscious way to just keep going. The extra little bit of sugar at the end of the day was, oh, that means that I can just get a couple more things done, and then everything might be a little bit better, instead of actually having the awareness of self-care and the prioritization of that, to be able to go, you know what? It's nighttime. It is dark outside. There's nothing beneficial that I am going to be able to accomplish for the rest of my day. So it's time to be done. It's time to let the day go and relax and put it all behind me and do something for myself. And I think that that's really, really difficult for a lot of people who are dealing with trauma. And it's, again, one of the things that I absolutely love about the 21-day journey, because doing that journey, it requires you to do those things that you wouldn't normally prioritize for yourself, because you just don't think that they're important. But that journey walks you through and kind of forces you to take that time and to reprioritize in that way.
And I will say that there are many people who take the 21-day journey, not necessarily everyone, but there are many who, in the middle of it, find themselves with that same realization that it hasn't felt safe for me to relax. It hasn't felt safe for me to slow down. I wasn't even conscious of it. I wasn't even aware that that's why I was pushing myself so hard. That's why I've been keeping myself so busy. And that now that I am doing these things that promote a sense of relaxation, promote a sense of safety, I can actually get anxiety with that, because it doesn't feel safe to relax yet. Then of course, how is their body going to sleep, right? Because sleep requires us to relax. I mean, we can fall asleep with exhaustion, but it's not going to be restful sleep. It's the restful sleep when we can go into sleep feeling that all is well, I am safe, and so I can rest. It's a very different sleep than the exhausted rest of just falling asleep out of exhaustion.
Yeah, collapsing.
Collapse.
You know, I was listening to something the other day, and it's interesting because biologically we are designed to sleep. However, due to all of the insane chaos of our modern lives, it is not normal to sleep anymore. You actually have to work at sleep. And so even for someone who's not dealing with trauma, you have to consciously stop your life, put away the devices, turn off the lights, do all the things that you have to do to create an environment for sleep. And that's weird, because it was never like that before we had all this technology, but now we have to consciously work at sleep. And so for someone who's dealing with trauma, that's doubly the case, because not only do you have all these external stimuli that are telling you there's no reason that you need to sleep, you can keep doing whatever it is that you're doing because the lights are on and the Wi-Fi is going. When you're dealing with someone, when someone has trauma, it's also their internal system that's also saying, you can't go to sleep. You have to stay awake. You have to stay aware.
So for someone who notices that they have trauma patterns and their system is more sensitive, more reactive to the sensory environment, whether that be lights, whether that be sounds, whether that be Wi-Fi, but their system is just in general more sensitive, more reactive. What are those things that they can build into their environment to help them get that rest that they need?
You've probably heard of sleep hygiene, and sleep hygiene is kind of an umbrella term for all the things that we can actively do, that we can actively control about how we approach sleep. Because it's used so frequently, it can be something that's easily dismissed. Oh yeah, sleep hygiene, whatever, it doesn't really work. When in reality, for at least 50% of the people who are struggling with sleep challenges, if they just really dialed in their sleep hygiene, their sleep would come back online and they would sleep through the night, no problem. So when we're talking about environment, we're talking about things like light, your exposure to light. I call it your light diet. So what type of light you're being exposed to at what times of day, and making sure that you get early morning sunlight, because that cues your body that it's time to wake up, and it helps with that cortisol melatonin production cycle that I was talking about. And then also making sure that you're not exposed to blue and green spectrums of light after sunset. And again, this is really tricky in our modern culture, because if you're using normal light bulbs, they have mostly blue light coming out of them. If you're looking at screens, it's mostly blue light. So you really need to make a conscious choice to do something different. And so that might be changing out the light bulbs in your house, you know, making sure that they are dim at night, using red light bulbs instead of the regular compact fluorescents at night, or using a type of circadian rhythm glasses if you're going to need to be on your computer at night. Those are things that can help with the light. Also making sure that your bedroom is super dark, because you want it to be like you're sleeping in a cave. If you're exposing your brain and your eyes and your skin to light at night, it's going to tell your brain that it should be awake in the middle of the night. And so those lights that are coming that have that blue spectrum of light are telling your brain that it's high noon at any time of the day or the night. And then it sends your body into that hypervigilant state because it's supposed to be alert. So it's really counterproductive for someone who's trying to sleep well.
It's not going to be enough for someone just to wear an eye mask that blocks the light from their eyes, because if their skin is still receiving the light, their skin is still receiving that message of, hey, it's time to be awake.
And unfortunately, even if you don't have the lights on in your house, if you live in an urban environment, there's ambient light from all around you. And so getting really good blackout shades is really important. There's so many things that we need to be aware of, especially with someone with a hypervigilant immune system, because even if you get blackout shades, if they're off-gassing, that could be something that's keeping you awake at night. So making sure that you have natural materials in your bedroom is very, very important for someone who has a hypervigilant immune system. Also, that temperature drop at night is going to be really important. If you have a thermostat that has the same temperature all day and all night, then you're not getting that cue from your body that it must be nighttime because it's cooler. So you want to make sure that it's much cooler at night while you're sleeping. Another thing, especially for people with trauma, is making sure that your bedroom environment is a place where you actually feel safe, because there are different triggers for people who've experienced trauma. And so I recommend, and you do this so well in the 21-day journey, but specifically the practice where you go through your house and you touch the walls and you make sure that you're grounded and that you feel safe in your space. Especially you want to do that for your bedroom and make sure that everything in your bedroom is something that feels safe to you. So for example, if you experience, I'm just going off on a tangent here, but if you experience trauma from being in a negative relationship and you still have a picture of the family member that you experienced trauma with is in your bedroom, get it out of your bedroom. That's not a good thing for you. And it might not be something that you immediately associate with feeling unsafe. So you really have to go into your bedroom with a conscious awareness and an open mind of feeling what feels unsafe to you, even if it doesn't make logical sense. If you go into your bedroom and you're like, you know what, that's just not right, do it differently for yourself. And then the one other thing that I want to mention is EMFs, because EMFs are something that there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of confusion about EMFs. However, if you're someone who is hypersensitive or who's dealing with trauma, I would definitely recommend that you get all of the electronics that you can out of your bedroom and try to sleep in a EMF mitigated sleep sanctuary. See how it is for you, because not everyone is as sensitive to EMFs as some people are. But if you're dealing with trauma, it's definitely something that I would look at. And it really might be the difference between you feeling like you can get a good night's sleep and not.
And I would imagine that for someone who's come along in and saying, I've tried so many things, right? I've tried so many things. And being able to just take one of these hacks, one of these tools and saying, all right, I'm going to give this a try and I'm going to just implement this. Even just with one of these things, it's possible that they can experience an improvement in their sleep. Obviously, the more that they apply, the better and better sleep that they have the potential of having. But even just starting with one thing could start to make improvement in their sleep.
Absolutely. And the other thing to know is that nobody gets a perfect night of sleep every night of their lives. And so it's going to be a process, especially when you're dealing with a hypervigilant immune system and a hypervigilant nervous system. It's going to take a while for your body to heal. And so be patient with yourself, be patient in the process. And if you wake up at night, definitely don't turn on bright lights. Don't do things that are stimulating for yourself. You know, breathing is an excellent option to do in the middle of the night. There's box breathing, which is a really simple breathing technique where you just breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, and hold it for 4 seconds. And you can just do that while you lay in bed and relax. See what happens. You know, if you allow yourself to do that for 3 to 5 minutes, you might find that you're able to fall back asleep. Because again, what you're wanting to do, what's happening when you're waking up in the middle of the night and you can't fall back asleep, is that your body, your nervous system is in a sympathetic state and you're trying to get it back into a parasympathetic state. And one of the quickest, fastest, oldest time-tested ways to do that is to change your breathing and see if it works for you.
For a person who's starting to look at all of this, is there one suggestion that you would have on this is where you can start? This would be a really simple thing to start with. Definitely plan on doing it all. What would you have them start with?
I really feel like for your audience, Amy, and for the people who are listening, the most important place to start is thinking about safety, how you need to feel safe. You know, like what is it that you need to feel safe in your life? If you're taking care of that, then it's automatically going to dramatically improve your sleep.
So what are you going to start with today? You're going to start with the Epsom salt baths at night. I love those. My system loves those with that lavender Epsom salt. Or are you going to start with cooling the temperature down? I also do that. What are you going to start with? The blue light blocking glasses? What can you start with today? Just start with something now. Don't wait for perfection. Just start with what you can right now. And even if you just improve your sleep 5%, even if you just improve your sleep 2%, that will be worth it to just give your system a little more resilience for going into tomorrow.
Thank you for joining me today on this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. Please drop a review for this podcast. It helps others find this information on sleep and creating the safety in their nervous system to do just that. In the show notes, I will have a link to Susie Sink's website and resources for you specifically on the trauma sleep connection and tools. The essential sequence in starting with safety is an important concept. I will have my guide to safely addressing stored trauma in the body through the essential sequence. It starts with safety, but does not end there. There are two more steps to that essential sequence. I have that all in that guide. For those of you who are practitioners and professionals and want the pocket guide version, I will have that shorter version for you as well. I will also have a link to the magnesium I use for sleep, so you can include that in your bedtime routine. And the link to the weighted neck scarf I use also to provide my autonomic nervous system a sense of safety through the touch points on my neck and brainstem. I will include a link to this 21-day journey that Susie took with me. And I will also include a link to the research that we're doing with this 21-day journey that we even know that there's a 28% decrease in sleep issues in just the first 21 days. Don't forget, there is a section in the show notes for you to drop your comments to this specific episode and to have a discussion on sleep. And don't forget to rate this podcast with your 5-star rating. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and until next episode, lots of love.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe, We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey, and you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars, share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact, as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.